Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. Joining me is co-host Stephen Kerr, 65-plus years in sports journalism between the two of us, now part of the Believe Network. Huge news for us. Incredibly excited about that. More on that later. And also later in the show, we'll get into this Astros lost season. I'm just going to call it lost for now anyway. And also why we're having so many pitching injuries, plenty to talk about there. But Stephen, the NFL draft starts Thursday, really Friday for the Texans with no first round picks. I kind of feel like the Texans fans, though, are more excited about the new uniforms today than they are about the draft, Stephen.
Well, it certainly has caused a lot of social media buzz, Robert, and they usually do. You know, when you change uniforms, it's a big deal because appearance is everything. But at least for the next couple of days, you know, since everybody's got their mock draft and nobody really knows who the Texans are going to pick except the Texans themselves, or even are they going to keep the same picks? I doubt it. You know, there's going to be a lot of talk, and already is. There's a lot of things floating around on social media about the new uniforms, and you know, some are going to like them and some don't.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. And what I'm going to do first is for all of you that are watching on YouTube, the YouTube crowd, we're going to show you some photos. Let's see what we got here. What do you guys think about this that are watching out there? What do you think of the new uniforms? I'm not sure if anybody cares what an old guy like me thinks. And I'll just say I'm happy they're not too radical, mostly a simple design, simple stands the test of time in sports. See the Yankees, see the Lakers, see the Cowboys. If you're not switching it all the time, if it's a pretty simple design, the helmet with the H logo and the H-Town blue, that's a little too Tennessee Titan for my taste. Looks very similar to that, I think, as far as the color scheme and just the way it looks there. I know that font's not exactly the Tennessee Titans, but there's something similar there. That's my biggest criticism. I'm saying not Houston Oiler, but Tennessee Titan, because it has the two shades of blue. And let me throw up the battle red design next. And this is the battle red along with the regular white tops. And I assume this is going to be the Liberty white uniforms with the blue bottom, which I like. I hate the, you know, jumpsuit looking.
Yeah.
Little rush stuff, right. Stephen.
That would be better.
Yeah. I was never a fan of just the color rush jerseys in general. The battle red is a definite improvement over the more ketchup bottle look. Overall, though, I would say these uniforms are better, but it's not the coolest thing ever. It doesn't want to make me rush to the store. Stephen, you've got the advantage that we don't have. This is not going to change your life at all.
No, it's not. But I have to say, Robert, personally, maybe they should have kept the ones they had because they gave them good luck last year. So, you know, if the Texans fall to 7-10 this coming season, don't blame all the players they sign. Blame the change in the uniforms. But no, in all seriousness, my thing about the Tennessee Titans thing is I can't help but wonder, maybe it's a little, you know, a little slap at the Titans for, yeah, I'm sure it was intentional to just let them know, hey, we still got some oil and blood in us, whether you like it or not. But, you know, these things are subjective, Robert. Some people are going to like them, some won't. And until you see the players all decked out in them and running onto the field, you know, maybe we can reserve judgment on exactly whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because it can look really weird on television and not as weird when you see the photos. We're going to have to see how it all plays out. But, you know, the Texans got a lot of big things planned here. I was just reading, Stephen, earlier today, the Texans bullhead and the new H logo are going to be featured in parks around Houston, like Herman Park and Eleanor Tinsley Park. That starts Thursday. Downtown Houston and the bridges over 59 are going to be lit up in Texans colors. Even the Sam Houston statue in Huntsville will be wearing the Color Rush jersey through May the 7th. I don't know how they're going to pull that off, but that's what I read.
That's quite something. And, you know, Robert, when you're winning, it's so much easier to do this kind of marketing than when you're 2-15. And it's just great to see the club, you know, not only winning on the field, but really pushing things off the field and with, you know, coming out with the new uniforms and all the marketing that they've done. I mean, obviously winning is a byproduct of that. And so it's just great to see that, because Houston could certainly use that. You hadn't had that, at least from the Texans side of things, in several years. So it's just wonderful that they're doing all this.
Yeah, I just want to know, is there some stick-em on these new uniforms so Jalen Petrie can hold on to a guy once he hits him? that's really what matters to me. And, you know, Steven, back to the actual football field, the Texans, not a big story, but they re-signed Dare Ogunbowale, and he was the hero last year, of course, with the field goal when they had the injury for that one game. And as one of our fans pointed out, though, to me, and I thought this was kind of interesting, he said, give Caserio credit for continuing to emphasize special teams. Maybe it's under the radar, but they brought back their key guys, Desmond King, Neville Hewitt, Fairbairn, Dare, all key guys on the special teams, got all good special teams guys. They also signed, and it got lost in the shuffle around the key offseason signings. They signed a couple of months ago, Ravens linebacker Delshon Phillips, another excellent special teams guy, one of the best ones for the Ravens.
Well, just ask the San Francisco 49ers how important special teams are, and as we found out in the Super Bowl. So it is a big part of things, Robert, and you know, especially when you get into playoff games, it really can make a difference. And so some of these names may be below the radar, but you never know one of them could jump up and surprise you. But at the very least, if they can keep the special teams aspect going the way they did last year, they'll be all the better for it.
It's weird coming up with the draft, Steven, because, you know, the Texans don't have a first round pick. So it's like, oh, who's going to be there? Well, there's a lot less options, obviously, when you're picking in the first round of, oh, who can the Texans grab according to the boards, as opposed to the second, because you never know what's going to happen in the second round. And I know, you know, we've gotten some comments on YouTube a lot, Steven, about T'Vondre Sweat with the Longhorns. You know, it's a guy you've followed more than I have, but with the DW, you know, he's had the drunk issue, and he doesn't fit what D'Amico looks for, it seems like, in a defensive lineman. I don't know if I actually see them picking that guy. I know the fans like him.
The fans like him, and who could blame him? I mean, he was a stud at UT. I mean, you watch him play, and it's obvious that he's NFL material, you know, and this all happened during pro day, and it's just unfortunate. You know, these guys, I know they're young, and they're excited about, you know, the possibility of getting drafted, but just that's all the more reason that you need to keep your nose clean. And guys like him, you know, the thing about it is, Robert, when you're talking about some guys may be around and some may not, you know, a lot of it depends on how deep the positions are in the draft. Like cornerback, for instance, pretty deep pool of cornerbacks, same with wide receivers. So even if you're not going to grab that one, the first round pick, there's still going to be some guys left in the second round. And again, you never know who's going to drop and who might shoot up and be a surprise that you thought might be a lower round pick. So it's really just hard to say, and we won't know until the draft actually comes of what the Texans will have left when it's their time to pick.
Yeah, the difference maker type of guy for the Texans, Steven, somebody that could come in and really help you at safety, at cornerback. There is room to start at those positions, and I feel like those are the two key positions. Defensive tackle, there's opportunities to start too, so if you want to add that one, but really the secondary to me is what I'm most concerned about at this point. If they draft a wide receiver, they're not going to expect anything from him until next year, with the possible departure of Stephon Diggs, and hopefully not, but if there's some issue with re-signing Nico Collins, you know, that's going to be a big deal, but not this year. If you do draft an offensive lineman, maybe they've got a shot to beat out Kenyon Green, but otherwise, you know, really the secondary to me, it's where you could make an impact as far as the draft is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know the Texans signed Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson, but I think those are depth guys. And so, you know, they've got to find something else in that position. You know, somebody that can really step up and give the secondary what they need. Because the pass coverage had its ups and downs last year. And if you can shore up the secondary, add some depth at wide receiver, you know, that's why the signing of Stephon Diggs was so big, because you don't have to put one of those first two picks to get a wide receiver now, somebody that would be an impact player. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. The secondary is a key need. I mean, the offensive line, yeah, I still think they need to draft a guy pretty high up, you know, maybe with their third pick, just because there's still so many unanswered questions at certain positions. And Kenyon Green, you mentioned that. You know, we don't even know if he's going to come back from the injury he has. Is he going to get re-injured again? So those are very important positions, especially in the first 2 to 3 picks.
Yeah, you dropped a wide receiver. You got to remember, they've got a bunch of guys signed and ready to go. We know about the three main guys, but they still have Robert Woods hanging around. I don't know if that's going to last forever.
Yeah, I don't see him going past training camp, though. But again, it depends on if they draft someone or if someone like, let's say Xavier Hutchinson kind of steps forward, starts really, you know, showing something. I think one of the two guys, either Robert Woods or Noah Brown, probably aren't going to be here. But then again, it depends on how things fall out between now and then.
Yeah, because they basically right now have 7 guys as is, because you got Woods, Noah Brown, Mechie, and Xavier Hutchinson all signed. And, you know, all those guys, you know, they probably had pretty high hopes for at one point. And, you know, Woods could still be gone, but that 6, if you draft a guy, then somebody else's job is in jeopardy. It's not just Robert Woods' job. Because like I said, I don't think there's any way they keep 7. I don't think you're going to depend on somebody not picking up Hutchinson or Mechie if you try to stash him on the practice squad or something like that.
Yeah, we certainly hope that there can be continued improvement with Mechie, because at least toward the end of the year, he started showing some flashes that, you know, maybe he was kind of getting back to form after being out, of course, you know, the whole previous first year.
Yeah, Stephen, I just want to send out a reminder also to you guys watching. I would love to hear what some of you think as far as not a particular player, but just what positions do you really feel like are necessary with those 2 second round picks, or the 2 seconds and the third? Those are really where you can get some impact guys in that first 100 of the draft. Like, which positions do you like out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So
do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know, the Texans are going to have their draft party Friday. Trader Nick, he could do something to get back in the first round, but I think it'd be a stretch, Robert. But it would be kind of funny if that happens and they do end up with a very late first round pick or something, that they don't have their draft party on Thursday. But no, I think that they are going to make some moves. That just, you know, Nick doesn't sit. He doesn't stand pat with that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting just to see. They have 9 picks in those 7 rounds, but I somehow doubt that number is going to remain the same by the time the draft is over.
Yeah, it's like, is it 2 6 and 2 7s? That those are prime Nick's area.
One of those will probably go in each of those rounds.
Yeah, he's going to move up somewhere along the line. Move up, move down, move south. You know, he's always moving around. So,
and let's not forget, you know, sometimes these middle round picks really pan out. So if you can get another one, well, that's an even better chance that somebody might not only stick, but step up and really be a part of the Texans' success in the next few years.
Quick reminder for our Rockets fans out there. I posted a show late Sunday, early Monday with Frank from Rockets Chop Shop, looking at the top three Rockets targets and free agency. So we knocked around our top three each, some realistic options. They weren't the same. So you basically get a two for one because it's six guys that you're going to hear us talking about. So check that out. But Steven, unfortunately, we got to get to the Astros, and
don't everybody turn off everything all at once. Let's keep it here because we do have some opinions about the Astros.
Yeah, let's talk through it because Steven, look, the Astros now have had six starting pitchers on the injured list. Abreu and Presley and the bullpen are struggling. Everybody is trying to point the blame. There's finger pointing everywhere on who's to blame for all this, on what's happened to this team. But the real reason is simple, Steven, and let me explain it as quickly as I can. When you pitch an extra month of postseason baseball 7 years in a row, the stress on pitching arms catches up to you. Now, I'm not saying all these guys pitched every single one. We know they weren't in every offseason, but they've pitched in a bunch of offseasons between all of these guys, racked up a ton of innings. Blame the Astros' incredible success, not Jim Crane, Dana Brown, Joe Espada. He's not Buttermaker from the Bad News Bears. Steven, just one extra month of postseason baseball is one less month of recovery time and maybe 2 or 3 months more of stress on an arm, which adds up over time, right?
Yeah, it absolutely can, Robert. But I think, you know, to some degree, I would agree with you. But I also think, I mean, I got to thinking about this the other day. Maybe some of these guys just aren't as great as we'd like to think they were. I mean, let's take Hunter Brown for an example. You know, a couple of years ago, he's supposed to be the next big pitching thing for the Astros. And he did look that way at first. And even the start of last season, he kind of started looking that way. But really, ever since, I just don't feel like Hunter has been the same pitcher. And some of that may be true of what you're saying with him, because he certainly pitched more innings last year than he ever has as a professional or any other time. So that could be some of it. But I just wonder, you know, with him especially, is he really as great as we've all been pumping him up to be? You know, the pitching injury thing is just very disturbing, Robert. You look around the entire MLB, though, and just look at how many pitchers that teams have lost because of injury, either for, you know, say 15 days on the IL or for the season. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. You know, the Astros aren't the only team struggling with this. So in part, you may be right, but I think it is a sport-wide problem. That, and I know we're going to talk about that to some extent here in a minute, but that's just my take on it. The Astros aren't the only team that is having this problem. So I don't think you can solely blame it on just the arms being tired and throwing too many innings.
Yeah, and let's get into that because you said it. It's a baseball epidemic. It's been going on for the last decade with these pitching injuries. John Smoltz talked about it with Ben Verlander, Justin's brother, and he said, quote, "We've mastered throwing the ball hard and spinning it really tight. You cannot throw the ball, though, that hard with that spin and sustain it for 7 to 10 years. All of a sudden, people say the pitch clock is the reason people are getting hurt. Everybody comes up with these nonsense excuses," said Smoltz. "That's why I can't be quiet anymore." Do you agree, Steven?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this is not the first time that John Smoltz has been outspoken. I think in his book, I can't remember the title of it, he addresses the pitching problem in his book. And yeah, I absolutely agree, Robert. And we're not just talking about major league players. We're talking about kids. When you're talking about travel teams and how competitive they are, and these coaches are trying to teach these kids not only to throw hard or harder, but to start doing these breaking pitches and putting more spin on the ball. I'm sorry, a kid's arm is not ready for that at that early age. And then you talk about pitchers that, you know, pitch in these tournaments 2-3 days in a row. That's where I think the problem starts, Robert. I think it starts on the youth level. And I also think it's just how pitchers are training. They're training differently than they ever used to. I mean, you know, you look at guys like Nolan Ryan and so many of these other great pitchers, they threw 140, 150 pitches a start in some cases. So to say that, you know, they're throwing too many pitches, it's not hitting the mark. It's how you're throwing them. And when you keep trying to throw harder and harder, and then you start spinning the pitches with your arm, it just can't happen. So yeah, I absolutely agree with what Smoltz said.
He also said later that the pitch clock may be 10% of the problem, but the pitch clock is only the issue. And this is me talking here, if you're trying to throw the ball as hard as you can on every pitch, that's my feeling. It's like, yeah, the pitch clock makes a difference because you're trying to throw the ball as hard as you can and you're trying to do it in less time. But Steven, the philosophy, it's got to change with MLB teams because listen, do you want to go through all-star caliber pitchers like bubblegum, or do you want to work on less velocity and spin rate with more pitch to contact so you're not wasting years of development on these elite starting pitchers that you're trying to develop, for instance, the Hunter Browns of the world or whoever. So you fix the starters, and not only do you fix the fact that these injuries are happening to the starters, but you also fix the injuries to the bullpen and the great bullpen arms that you're losing because you're having to pitch them so much.
With Major League Baseball, it seems to take them forever to address an issue. You know, we can talk about the PEDs. How long did it take them to address that issue? We can talk about making the games shorter. How many years have they spent trying to do that? So unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be, there's going to be a short-term answer. You know, Justin Verlander addressed the same thing. In fact, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on a podcast. You know, he basically said the same thing that John Smoltz did. And something else that he said is, yeah, it's a problem that needs to be fixed, but he doesn't anticipate the problem being solved anytime soon. And unfortunately, Robert, I think he's right. I just don't feel, you know, it's not something that you can clear up in the next year or two. It's going to have to be something over the long haul. And again, you're going to have to get youth teams involved and college teams because they're doing the same thing. So unfortunately, that's not helping the Astros now when you have half a dozen pitchers out because of this. But yeah, this is alarming. But with the Astros, it all happening at once like this, really over the last couple of years, when you don't have a farm system that's, you know, a top-rated one, you're having to dip into what little system you have. That's one of the reasons the Astros are struggling this year, honestly.
Yeah, and listen to this. I mean, the Astros, you know, you could get mad at them because, oh, they didn't spend money on Hector Neris or Phil Maton or Ryan Stanek or Blake Snell. Let me just, about 24 hours ago, so maybe something changed yesterday, but I just looked at the numbers. And the last numbers that I saw as of Sunday night, Hector Neris had a 1.87 whip. Phil Maton had a 1.889 whip. Blake Snell had a 1.971 whip. And you don't want to see his ERA. It's as ugly as a lot of the Astros pitchers in the bullpen. Ryan Stanek had a 1.667 whip. So don't blame the Astros because they didn't re-sign. Those guys, which by the way, you know, major playoff innings for Neris, Maton, Stanek over the last few years. I mean, all that stuff, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it actually adds emphasis to what you just said to what I was thinking and was going to say, too, is you can't say that you resign those guys that they're going to have the same years that they had last year. And obviously, at least so far, that's being played out. And unfortunately for the Astros, it's playing out with Josh Hader. You know, Josh Hader was considered the best closer in baseball, and rightfully so, the last several years. But he signs with the Astros, and immediately he's off to a bad start. Ryan Pressly. I know he switched roles and everything, but come on, it shouldn't take you 23 games to get used to being a setup man, especially since you were that several years ago. I think some of that is mental with him, and you know, we can get into that. That's a different story. But I think there are just a lot of factors. You know, as you've seen, the back end of the Astros bullpen that's supposed to be superhuman just isn't performing. So you can't really say that, oh, well, if we had just re-signed Neris and Maton and Stanek, that we'd be much better off, because obviously that's not playing out in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and let's remember, if you re-signed all those guys, how does that fix Pressly and Abreu, who have still stunk? And, you know, if you know, you probably wanted them also to sign Josh. That's the problem, is those back three guys have been terrible, been blowing saves left and right. They're as much of a problem as anything. Also, Steven, not sure how much Astros leadership has played into what's happened, but this is a reminder of who they've lost over the years. I'm going to go over some names that most of those type of leaders have not been replaced with other locker room leaders. We're talking about Springer, Correa, Brantley, Brent Strom, Maldi, AJ Hinch, Dusty Baker. I mean, you can even go back to Brian McCann, but of course we sort of, you know, replaced him with Maldi at one point.
Yeah.
But if you look at this, it's about leadership in this locker room. Even Yuli wasn't a vocal leader, but I'm sure he had some cachet. Altuve and Bregman, they just lead more by examples.
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, the biggest reason for that, Robert, with the exception of a few of the names you mentioned, like AJ Hinch, you know, Dusty Baker, Brent Strom, these other guys, you know, Springer, Correa, they were replaced by young guys. You know, Kyle Tucker, Jeremy Pena, Maldi replaced by Yiner Diaz. You know, these are young guys. They're not just going to walk in and suddenly take over the clubhouse any more than Jose Altuve did when he came in 2011. It takes a while to get that kind of leadership, if you get it at all. And some players are just not geared that way. I mean, if they were, then everybody'd be a leader. So, yeah, it is a problem. I think that it may be, I wouldn't say it's the major contributor to why the Astros are struggling, but it's certainly a factor, especially when you are losing. You need guys like Maldi and, you know, some of these others. Correa was very big about this, you know, and even Altuve to some extent, stepping up when the team was struggling, having a closed-door team meeting and addressing the guys and just making sure that everybody's on track. And I don't know, they may be having secret team meetings for all we know, but that is a big factor, Robert, is that some of these guys that are young, either it's going to take them a while or in some cases, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I heard that Verlander made a speech on Wednesday. Unfortunately, it only worked Friday. And then by Saturday and Sunday,
it worked when he pitched, but not the rest of the series. Yeah, exactly. And you can include Verlander in that leadership role because but again, he leads by example. And sometimes, honestly, I think one of the biggest problems, Robert, is that we've expected the Astros to continue this trajectory. And let's be honest, you know, when you look at guys like, let's say Brian Abreu, for instance, let me use him as an example, and Ryan Pressly. They have had killer years the last several years. They're due for a down year. And it's not something you wish for, you know, not something you want to have happen, but it's just going to happen. It's, you know, especially with relief pitchers, man, it's extremely difficult to be that consistently good year in and year out. So I think some of this we probably should have expected, but obviously, you know, our heart is going to rule because we think, well, the Astros have pretty much the same squad. A few changes here and there. So they should still be pretty good, but and certainly we didn't expect them to basically be falling off the table like they have.
Everybody's discussed the lack of clutch hitting, so this is not like breaking news or anything, but we know that's been an issue. One guy I specifically, though, worry about is Yonner Diaz. It's not just this season, but in his two seasons, he's hitting .226 with runners in scoring position. That's 128 at-bats. Pretty big sample size. Steven, he's got to change his approach in clutch situations because it's not working.
No, it's not working. And I wish there was a batting coach we could ask, you know, what do you do to help guys hit in clutch situations? I mean, I know some coaches, some youth coaches, I've talked to many of them and they try to simulate things in practice. And I'm sure the major league players do it too. You know, put some pressure on you, you know, not a wager per se, but something that's kind of on the line to kind of get you mentally prepared for that. So I don't know what the answer is to fix something like that with Yonner Diaz and then some of the other guys who, you know, have that same problem.
Just one little thing on Espada, and if you've got any other Astros takes, I just want to say that for the most part, I don't have an issue with much. I mean, he's done everything that he can do with Jose Abreu. We know how that Jose Abreu thing is just a total mess. Little issue is Alex Bregman. He struggles every April. We go through this every April. He doesn't deserve an automatic spot batting fourth or third in this lineup with what he does in April. Move Alex Bregman down until he can prove to you that he's hitting in April. And last year, I think it went even into a lot of May until he can prove to you that he can hit. I always say this, you're allowed to move a guy back up the next day. They don't make you have the same lineup every single day, Steven. So let him get going a little bit later in the lineup and then you can bring him back up. Unfortunately, the lineup has looked shorter and shorter because now Abreu is struggling.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, well, who are you going to put in the cleanup spot, though, to replace him? I mean, you already moved Abreu down because he's struggling, so he's not the answer.
Mauricio Dubon, he hits in the clutch. He's the one guy.
He hits in the clutch, yeah. And then that, of course, brings up a whole new thing. Is he going to be your everyday center fielder? Because if he is, you know, maybe that's something you consider. Because, yeah, he has been hitting in the clutch and even hit a home run the other day, and he doesn't hit that many. You kind of like your cleanup guy to hit a few of those, but you know, certainly Bregman has had the power in years past. He just isn't showing it. So, you know, the biggest problem is there are several of these guys who are struggling and you can only move so many down in the lineup. So that's the biggest problem as far as Bregman goes.
Maybe Bregman will get help instead of popping it up to second base or something like that with runners in scoring position. They're going to be in Mexico this weekend. So maybe that pop-up turns into a home run. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm sure hoping that the Astros can start hitting some home runs in Mexico and maybe get some momentum going. But you know, it's just, Robert, it's hard for us to go through. Talk about being spoiled. Now we know how, say, Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers fans feel when their teams go through down periods. You know, the Dodgers aren't exactly hitting on all cylinders with all these star players they signed. So everything on paper, it may look great, but until you get out on the field, it can sometimes be a totally different story. And while I'm not ready to write off the Astros season just yet, I'm getting pretty close because I think we've had enough of a sample size to feel, you know, this team has really fallen off the cliff. And, you know, the digger you dig the hole, the harder it is to get out of it.
Easy for you to say. You sound like you're fumbling with the ball like Jose Abreu trying to catch up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess that proves my point.
If the Astros were struggling over the last 35 years, there was always one Houston sports radio caller you couldn't wait to hear from. And as I posted on social media last week, we lost that guy in the last couple of weeks. Howard and Memorial passed away at age 89. And Stephen Howard brought that New York accent down to Houston back in 1972. But you couldn't take the accent or the New York skepticism away from an icon, really, in local radio.
No, you can't. And I've always been fascinated, Robert. And, you know, I was in radio, I was in broadcasting, and I've even done sports talk radio. And yet it still fascinates me how there are certain callers that if you mention them around town, people know exactly who you're talking about. And Howard and Memorial is exactly one of those guys. And I think sometimes they call him Dr. Howard because he was a doctor. So rightfully so, they call him Dr. Howard, Howard and Memorial. But one of the things that I've always felt about Howard is that you listen to him talk, and not only do you notice the accent, you notice how well-read and how intelligent he is on his takes on sports. And I think, he's even well-read on some other issues, too, that have nothing to do with sports. But it's obvious that Howard knows his stuff. And as positive as he was, he could have some negative takes on, Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, or the Astros, or the Texans, Oilers, whomever. He was not afraid to express his opinion, even if it was negative. So, yeah, definitely a big loss. But again, it's callers like Howard. I just think it's fascinating that just because you call a show regularly doesn't mean that you're going to, quote unquote, catch on. But some guys do, and he certainly did.
Nobody kept Bagwell and Biggio in check more. And it's very ironic that Howard and Memorial goes down about the time that Jeff Bagwell is like he's the bad guy in the Jose Abreu issues and stuff like that. Howard would want to make a point on that if he were
certainly
feeling pretty good about that, if he were in good health and still with us. But also, people need to know that Howard was a GI doctor in Houston for many, many years. Just a really intelligent person. You talk about well-read. He read, according to his daughter, or according to the obituary that I saw, I'm not sure who wrote it, but four different newspapers every single day, several books every week, or constantly. He was always reading different books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just really intelligent guy, thought out person, religious person from what I read as well, deep into his Judaism. And happy Passover for everybody out there celebrating Passover. But just, he was an original, and really you loved listening to him. I think a lot of us did. He was as much a part of the scene as the sports host, different stations and things like that.
You know, what's interesting is I'm kind of surprised they never gave him his own show. I mean, there are some callers who have actually turned that into having their own show, or at least, co-hosting with a show.
Matt Jackson did it.
Matt Jackson. Yeah. And there was a guy in Dallas named Leon Simon who was on KLIF. He was a barber by trade. He was a barber during the day. And, he started calling one of the shows on KLIF, I think it was in the evening. He ended up not only being on the show as a guest, but he ended up co-hosting the show. So I'm kind of surprised that nobody said, hey, Howard, why don't you come be on the show with us a little more regularly, just as a part-time co-host even.
Yeah, Sean Pendergast is another name, and he was a regular caller into Jim Rome and sort of gained some fame with that.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And you talk about, why they didn't give him his own. They would call Howard and Memorial up if he hadn't called in a week, because they were worried about him. And sometimes they would, we need you to call, you're part of the show, man. We need you. You haven't called in a week or something like
that. Yeah, that's the next best thing, I guess, to saying, hey, why don't you, let's give you your own show. So that's remarkable. And I'm in Austin, so I haven't lived in Houston in a number of years. So I don't know how recently Dr. Howard has stopped calling, but man, I just always made sure I listened more carefully whenever he would call in.
Yeah, the difficulty is that some of these shows just aren't taking as many callers, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Also, another, it's part of, I think, people don't like to use the phone to actually call people. And that's why they weren't getting as many callers. And also, they're trying to do different things in sports radio than they were doing before. And it's hard because to rely on callers to kind of help a show. You've done sports radio, Stephen.
Let me tell you, I could tell you there is very few things more challenging than doing even a 2-hour sports talk show, having no guests and absolutely no callers. Because I did a show, it started out at a station that had just signed on the air. So hardly nobody knew about it. So you're going to do a 2-hour sports show. You're not going to expect, you have to plant calls in those cases. So yeah, you're right. It's very difficult to do that. So in some ways, it's probably easier now because you just don't take as many anyway. And if you have a co-host in there, like you and I do on the podcast, Robert, we could banter all afternoon about stuff.
Yeah, most people have co-hosts these days in Houston. You don't see as many one-offs as...
Look at our own Sean Bajani. I mean, even in the evening, he's got Patrick Creighton as his co-host. So even on the evening shows and later in the day, you're seeing two, sometimes three people.
Last thing we got, big news. Like we said earlier, joining the Believe Network of podcasts, hundreds of podcasts. It's a huge network, mostly sports podcasts out there. And Stephen, just very excited to get this opportunity.
Yeah, it is very exciting. And I've checked out a number of those podcasts on the Believe Network. They're certainly top quality. And I know there are a number of podcast networks out there that are especially geared to sports. I don't know if I'll mention their names on the podcast, but we know who they are. And Believe is another one that has really stepped up. And so I was really excited, Robert, when you told me that that was a possibility. And I'm even more excited now that our podcast is going to be part of the network. I think it will reach more people. You know, might even have a chance to get more sponsors. And I know that you're always looking for sponsors, no matter whether you're with them or not. So yeah, very exciting news. So congratulations for all the work you did putting into making that happen.
Just a reminder to everybody that's listening. I mean, we are the only Houston sports podcast that talks about all the sports. We are the closest thing to Houston sports radio out there that cover a little bit of everything. And even some of the stations out there on sports radio sort of zero in on a particular team a little bit more than everybody else. But we try to mix it up as much as possible. And even in these sports networks, you know, a lot of times they're talking about one team. Like to be different. I like to be different. This is different. And what's really a joy about this is when the Astros are struggling, you don't want to hear about the Astros sucking all the time, I don't think. But hey, the Texans are doing good all of a sudden. So we get to talk about the Texans, or the Rockets are starting to come on, or you've got the Houston Cougars, one of the best programs in all of sports right now in basketball. Right. So, I mean, there's just so many things that we can go to. And when we're having a bad day, we've got other teams to sort of lean on.
Well, and, you know, it's a testament, Robert, to the fact that your show's been on the air for more than 10 years. You know, I haven't been a part of it that long, but I've certainly listened to it. I don't think for 10 years, but pretty close. I'd say for the last 8 or 9 years that when I started listening to the show. So, you know, your longevity, I think it's one of the reasons for that, is that you do cover a wide variety of things. You don't just settle on one topic and run it into the ground, especially if the team isn't doing well.
And just a reminder, if you're listening to us, the only thing different that you're going to have is you're going to start hearing some ads. But just remember, that helps support us and makes it a little bit more palatable for us to continue doing this as opposed to doing it for the big zero, which is mostly what we've been doing it for.
And it's a lot of hard work, let me tell you.
If you're a fan of the show and for some reason, you know, you're not catching it on audio, it should have all transferred over to the new system, but it's definitely out there. But if you're listening on audio and if there's ever an issue, it all goes up on the YouTube channel. We've got the incredible library of stuff that we've done over the years, our Houston sports history playlist. I love talking about that because 200 shows that are 200 different videos that, you know, have interviews with all of these great players that played for the Astros and the Rockets and the Texans and the Oilers and Houston Cougars. And they're separated into separate ones if you want to see that as well. But, you know, you've got that available to you at any time. And the YouTube channel is going to continue as is. And that was part of the deal. And we wanted it to be like that because, you know, I think a lot of you fans do like on having it on YouTube, but it's available out there. If you're on the go, you don't have time. You're like, I don't want to sit there and watch you guys. I would rather be able to listen to it on the run. Well, we've always had the audio stuff for you. So that's available, and it's available in all the great spots like Spotify and Apple and just about anywhere you're going to get your podcast.
But, I use Downcast. And so it's always on there too.
And if you think there's something that we're not covering or we can do better, let us know about it. We want to hear from you always. You can put it in the YouTube comments. You can, you know, catch me on X. You can catch me on try our Facebook page and put something down there. But, you know, the best thing really for me these days is in the YouTube comments because I go through every one of those. They're not just thrown away. The better they are, the more I'm likely to react to them because some stuff I would prefer to react to and some stuff I'm like, well, that's not the greatest comment in the world. And just remember, we're doing the best we can.
Absolutely.
And we want you guys to enjoy it and keep listening to us because it's fun when you guys interact with us. So, Stephen, looking forward to another big week in Houston sports because the draft's just around the corner, and hopefully the Astros can get something done in Chicago and Mexico before our next show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at least, you know, by the time we have our next show together, the draft will be over and we can sit and talk about the Texans picks. So that'll definitely be something exciting to talk about. And, you know, if the Astros could just win more than two games in a row, that in itself would be exciting to talk about.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to also look for some people that talk to us about the specific picks that know more about those guys, just as we've done in free agency. We've done that in the draft over the years, bringing in experts, people that covered the players that the Texans pick up in the draft. So keep an eye out for that. We'll look for opportunities to bring those people aboard, hopefully by next week. But always good to talk with you, Stephen. We'll do it again soon.
Same here, Robert.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.